Our reading in God's Word this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, a series of Proverbs throughout a number of chapters, and I'll announce each one as we come to it. We will begin in Proverbs 14 at the 17th verse. I've chosen to read this morning from the New International Version, and we begin our reading of God's Word at Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. Verse 29, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. And Proverbs 18:13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Proverbs 19, verse 2. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Chapter 25, verse 8. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? Proverbs 28, verses 20 and 22. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Verse 22, a stingy man is eager to get rich, and is unaware that poverty awaits him. And finally, Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. And thus far the reading of God's Word. In this last month that I have chosen to preach from the book of Proverbs, I'm going back over the book, having covered, I think, most every one of the verses at one point or another, but now searching for particular themes which were not really the focus of my preaching previously, but which I think are important for us to take note of. We will be looking at the themes of haste, vanity, and trust in particular. We have studied all the verses, or at least as far as I can see, most all the verses, that we're looking at in the past. But now we're going to look at them in a new light, if you will, with a new packaging, kind of picking up a new theme, a new set of connections between various verses, and reflecting on the theme that God has set before us that we have perhaps not paid enough attention to in the past. Before I proceed to preach on the subject, though, I wonder if the book of Proverbs has become as precious a book to you as it has to me over these years as I've been preaching it, and whether we have really taken it to heart that if we want to get rid of the foolishness, and there is so much of it in us all, that we should be reading the book of Proverbs on a daily basis. I once recommended that you take one chapter of Proverbs a day and every month cover the book. That in addition to your regular devotional reading, by the way. That is a prophylactic against the foolishness that you're prone to in that day. The book of Proverbs cannot be studied in the way that the book of Romans can, as a systematic laying out of a theological theme from premise to conclusion. The book of Proverbs cannot be studied as a narrative can, either the narratives of Jesus as he ministered on earth or the Old Testament narratives of the kings or anything like that. It is not a story of that sort. The book of Proverbs, I've told you this before, is more like a jawbreaker or a whole bunch of jawbreakers that you need to take one at a time and put it in your mouth, spiritually speaking, and just let it be there for a long time and reflect on it and meditate on it and see how it should be put to use. I really hope that you are doing that. I hope that you have not been over the years, as you've heard me say this now, what, four or five, maybe half a dozen times, that you've not been saying, that would be a good idea. And then, having seen yourself in the mirror, walked away and didn't comb your hair. I hope that the book of Proverbs is becoming part of your daily life and experience. Now, if it is, then I would encourage you to go a step beyond what I've recommended in the past and do what I will be trying to illustrate for you in the next few weeks. And that is to see if you can now, through your familiarity with these Proverbs, start drawing connections. When we were children, we all enjoyed the little game where you draw the lines, you know, between the dots, and finally you see the pattern emerge. You see the picture that is there. And I think it will be of great spiritual benefit to you, brothers and sisters, if you'll start drawing the lines between the dots here in Proverbs. If you'll start taking these hard, individual, and in some sense isolated sayings, and draw lines between them, see the connections, and see new patterns emerge for you. They'll be very valuable for your spiritual learning. And so this morning we would take one of these themes where we draw the lines between all these dots, the theme of haste. I suppose the Lord not only has a sense of humor, but a sense of really good timing, that he forces the preacher to come to a theme and have to preach on something which, especially at this time in his life, is so difficult to live up to. As most of you know, I am pushing madly to meet a deadline to finish writing a book in the next couple weeks. And in the process of being very hasty about my life and other affairs, I have seen how foolish I can be, how I can snap at my children, how I can not be the person I wish to be, because haste not only makes waste — that is an interesting aphorism in American proverbial wisdom — but it seems to me haste far more than that makes us fall short of the glory of God. All week long, as I've been thinking about preaching on this theme, I couldn't help get out of my mind, you know, that song by Simon and Garfunkel, "Slow Down, You Move Too Fast." And I guess it really is appropriate to start right there. When you look at the verses that we've read in the Bible this morning as our scripture reading, what do they have in common? They have in common that fools, and all of us in our foolishness, do need to slow down. We need to not move so quickly when it comes to drawing our opinions or speaking our minds or expressing our anger or getting involved with commitments or actions in our lives. The Proverbs here deal with haste. You could call it rashness. It could be called being too quick about certain things. Now, our culture is devoted to greater and greater speed in doing things. I think you know that. We live in the instant breakfast culture, in a sense. Everything's got to be right at our fingertips. It's got to be immediately available. Things have got to be done very quickly. And sometimes that's good. Computers that work more quickly with greater speed, that's an asset. Obviously, if you're a running back in football and you are quicker than another, that's an asset. Emergency technology that is able to work at greater speed and efficiency is an asset. I think it's a great asset when we go to the checkout lines at the market. They can move us through quickly because they have the barcodes and, you know, computer scanners and that sort of thing. Speed can be an asset, can be good, but speed can also be something that is bad. Speed is not something that's particularly good in cars, as much as I like my sports car. It is not great to develop cars that can go faster and faster out on the highway when there's really no appropriate use for that kind of speed, after all. Speed has not been particularly helpful to the American diet in our fast food restaurants, though I use them. And I think speed has been especially a destructive force in our culture in the way that the media, very broadly speaking, focuses upon what is now called sound bites for communication, of very deep and often complex ideas, but we have to be able to get it across in 8 seconds, or else people are not going to be paying attention. So we have Election Day coming up on Tuesday, and how much do we know about the many things that we have to vote on or the candidates that we have to consider? We know very quickly this or that. We have a little flash of an idea or an impression or a feeling. Our culture is devoted to greater and greater speed, and it isn't always something that helps us. In fact, It's been observed for years. I'm not going to bring anything new to you this morning when I remind you that our culture is full of people that are frazzled by speed, from running from one thing to another, to another, to another. People who are just too busy. Count the number of times you say that in the month. You say to people, I'm just too busy. Got too much going on. Just can't keep up with everything. Now, a culture that emphasizes speed and doing things quickly and being busy like that is not a culture that encourages, is not a culture that reinforces certain character traits. Ask yourself how many people you know and whether you yourself might be characterized by a sense of due reflection on everything that you say and do and feel. We are not a culture characterized by patience. Or silence. Or being methodic. In fact, I have more often, I think, in my life, more often heard the expression being methodic used in a detrimental way, in a critical way, than in a way that commends somebody. When we say to somebody, you know, he's very methodic, from a biblical standpoint, that is a compliment. But it isn't in our culture. How many people do you know who are characterized by, and how much of your life is characterized by rechecking your work? Or looking before you leap, as we say. Or thinking before you speak. You see, character traits like those are easily pushed to the background. And we might even say, wouldn't it be nice about them? But then we move right on, very quickly, doing all the hasty, rash things that get us into trouble and make us so foolish. Simon and Garfunkel were right. We do move too fast. We need to slow down. We need not to get ourselves into so many foolish mistakes and to fall into so many sins because of our haste. The book of Proverbs makes this one of its themes. When you draw the lines between the dots, you see something about the quick-natured character of a fool. The fool is quick to do things. Proverbs has a great deal to say about being overly quick. And what it has to say throughout is that this is what characterizes a foolish life. The fool is hasty with his or her words. The fool is hasty in his actions. He's hasty with his emotions. He's hasty in his desires. He's hasty with his opinions. He's hasty with his commitments. The word that comes to mind in addition to haste is the word rash, which you might be interested to know Webster's defines as proceeding from undue haste or lack of deliberation, lack of caution. The rash person, the hasty person, is not a cautious person. It's not a person who is deliberate about what he or she thinks and says and does. To be rash and hasty is to be precipitous. There's a word we could use more of in our vocabulary. And get this, Webster says a precipitous person is one who uses unwise speed. Ah, the book of Proverbs would like that. The unwise speed, the abruptness of life that gets us into trouble. The Bible is full of illustrations outside of the book of Proverbs as well. Think about a few of them. Eve in Eden is going about her business. Satan makes a certain comment about the nature of the fruit and the nature of God and what Eve would really want. And Eve is very quick to make up her mind as to what she should do and foolishly gets the whole human race into all the problems that we face today. Cain was rash with his anger toward his brother and killed him. Abraham was rash about having God's promises fulfilled that he would have a son. And so he took it into his own hands to try to do that through Hagar, which was not God's appointed means at all. Jacob was rash and hasty to inherit the promise that God gave to him and tried to get it by deception and through manipulation rather than trusting the promises of God. Moses was a rash man who, before he had to flee to the wilderness, slew an Egyptian thinking he was doing God's service. Jephthah, perhaps, is a leading biblical illustration of hastiness and making a vow that if God would give him victory, he would dedicate, offer up as a whole offering before God whatever came out of his house when he returned, and it turned out to be his daughter to his chagrin. David in the Psalms, in a psalm that sticks with me Psalm 116:11 said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Having received a certain kind of treatment, David just drew the very hasty conclusion, which is not only fallacious from a logical standpoint, but foolish from a moral one. Well, that all men can't be trusted. That's a hasty way of thinking. Rehoboam, later, would hastily forsake the counsel of the elders and lead to the division of the kingdom. Naaman, when he was approached with the proposal from God's prophet that he should wash in the Jordan River, hastily said, "Forget that," and walked away from it. God brought him back. Josiah hastily went out to fight with Necho, the Pharaoh of Egypt, an incredibly stupid military decision, and it led to the captivity, finally. In the New Testament, you think of the haste of James and John, who wanted to call down fire from heaven upon the Samaritans one day, without due reflection and deliberation, and receiving a rebuke from Jesus. Or above all, I suppose, in all of these biblical illustrations, the one that will stand out, because we know him best and perhaps we associate him with him most, and that's Peter, who is really a life study in rashness, isn't he? Peter, who could jump from a boat and presume to walk on the water to Jesus, and then halfway across start to think about what he was doing. Peter, who could profess that he would never deny Jesus or betray him, and then three times hastily before the cock crows do so. Peter, who could draw a sword to defend his Lord and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, only to be rebuked by his Savior. Peter, the hasty one, the rash one. The Bible is full of these illustrations. What do we learn from them? Have we bothered to try to learn from them? Let me suggest that the book of Proverbs will teach us a great deal about what we can learn in reading the Bible from the standpoint of rashness, haste, or precipitousness. First of all, the book of Proverbs tells us we should be careful about haste with our emotions. Look at Proverbs 14:17. "A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated." I love the Hebrew here. The Hebrew says, the man who is short with his temper. The quick-tempered is the short-tempered man. He's the man who has, we might say, a short fuse. He's the person who is easily riled up, who explodes, who gets upset very quickly. And the result of that kind of lifestyle or character trait is foolishness. That temper, which is short, which is quick, which is hasty, will get you into trouble over and over and over again. In verse 29, the proverb says that the antidote to that is patience. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. You see, the contrast then is between the person who has the short fuse and the person who is long-suffering. The person who can suffer long, put up with a great deal, be very patient, make sure that he has understanding of a situation or of a person or a set of people before he responds. Proverbs 15:18 emphasizes patience as an antidote as well. We read there, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." To be patient is to be a peacemaker, to wait a long time in your suffering before you have to respond. Proverbs 16:32 says more about haste with our emotions. "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes the city." Believe it or not, you have greater strength, you have greater ability and power in this world than even a warrior who can take a city by his military prowess and his physical strength. You have greater power and authority in this world than that if you could control your emotions, to hold back, the Hebrew says, to hold in your spirit. And of course, that often means holding back our temper, but it means holding back all of our emotions and using them in the proper way. In Proverbs 19:11, we read, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense." Wisdom leads to patience. Patience keeps you from being hasty with your emotions, being quick-tempered or having a short fuse. So if wisdom leads to patience, which leads to the control of our emotions, where do we get wisdom? Well, you know, don't you, from the reading this morning, as well of your previous readings in the book of Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Standing in the presence of a holy God and bowing before Him and living your life in that presence. The fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, and wisdom will give you patience and the ability to control your emotions. So Proverbs says, don't be hasty with your emotions, but it says more. It says, don't be hasty with your desires either. Proverbs 28, verses 20 and 22. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. I think you'd be fooling all of us if you were to say to the congregation, you never once had a desire to get rich. You've never daydreamed about that. You've never thought about it. It would be nice to have not only financial security, but a little extra to enjoy the goodness of life. Well, okay, let that make you ambitious. Let that make you industrious. Let that make you hardworking. That's fine. But when you get hasty to get rich, I think here, of course, of those things we call get-rich-quick schemes, but it's more than just buying into the kind of foolishness advertised in the paper. When you are so quick to jump toward getting money and to take care of those needs rather than others that are really much more important in the eyes of God, the Bible says you're going to get yourself into trouble. Proverbs 20, verse 21 is an interesting insight on that. An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Do you know any story in the Bible that tells us of someone who wanted his inheritance at the beginning, right away, quickly, rashly, precipitously, and did not bless him in the end? Remember the one we call the prodigal son, who thought he knew better than his father and wanted to get out of that house and get his inheritance and go out and live himself riotously, wild lifestyle, and ended up fighting with the swine for something to eat. Proverbs tells us, when you want to get rich quick, when you want to realize your profits and get ahead in this world right away, it's going to get you into trouble. Be patient with your desires. Don't be so quick to realize them. Something of a parenthetical help on that matter would be found in Proverbs 13:12, I believe. There we have a proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We know that. You can listen to the sermon I preached on that. When we have things we want, we have to put them off. That does make us heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. If nothing else, this proverb does teach us that sometimes we do have to be a bit heart sick. We do have to put off our desires. We do have to gain those things we want in the proper way that they might become a tree of life and joy and pleasure to us. Don't be hasty with your emotions. Be a man of self-control, greater than a warrior. Don't be hasty about getting your desires. You'll end up like the prodigal son, fighting with the swine to eat. Proverbs tells us, don't be hasty in our actions either. Proverbs 19, verse 2. Perhaps thematic for all that I'm saying this morning. Proverbs 19:2 says, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. The Hebrew idiom, miss the way, is really one of the ways in which the Bible defines sin, to miss the mark, to wander from the way. And someone who is hasty often does that. When you get hasty, you don't hit the mark, you don't glorify God, you don't obey His commandments, but you are rather self-willed and foolish, and you miss the way. You wander. You don't do the things you should. It becomes a source of sin to you. In Proverbs 21:5, we read, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. I've wondered if maybe that's the background of our English proverb that haste makes waste. A person who is hasty is going to end up being poverty-stricken rather than like the diligent leading to profit in his life. We mustn't be hasty in our actions. It will be a source of sin. It will be a downfall to us in terms of our outward estate. The Bible also says we ought to be hasty in our, not to be hasty in our relationship with other people and making legal decisions either. In Proverbs 25:8, we read, "What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame?" Proverbs says, be cautious about going to court. That's the sort of thing you deliberate about. That's the sort of thing you should think about. Reflect on it. Consider the possibilities. You might get there, and you may think you have a great argument. You may think that your cause is just. But lo and behold, your neighbor's going to end up putting you to shame. Consider the consequences. Consider the possibilities that are there. I think about this especially in American culture, where there is such a quickness to think, I'll sue you in court. You know, that attitude that we're going to get to this. Proverbs says, back off from that. You don't know what's going to happen when you get to court. You remember how Jesus said you ought to do just about anything to stay out of court? Even if it means giving up your coat and when you don't have to? Don't be hasty to get into litigation with people. Don't be hasty to do things. Don't be hasty to get rich. Proverbs says, on top of these things, don't be hasty in your commitments. This is perhaps one of the biggest traps in all of our culture, in all of our lives, is that we so easily say we will do things. We promise to be a certain kind of person, to live up to a certain expectation, to perform a certain deed, to live in a certain relationship with fidelity, whatever it may be. We make promises, we sign contracts, we give our word, but we are not people of our word. In Proverbs 20, verse 25, God tells us it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. It's a trap. Hear the illustration, and we can get a broader principle from it, but the illustration is when you decide to dedicate something to God. There was a problem among the Hebrews, apparently, that they would sometimes ask God for a favor and make the promise that they would dedicate something. And then later, after everything worked out, okay, they start saying, now, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't have promised that particular lamb. I mean, that's a very good lamb. And maybe God will take less. Or maybe this is too valuable to me now. Be careful that when you make a vow, you live up to that vow. Don't hastily make the vow. That may be a vow to help a friend move when it doesn't work out to your convenience. It may be a vow to be faithful to death do you part in marriage. It may be a minor thing. It may be a major thing. But the Bible says don't rashly vow. And then later start thinking about it. Saying, oh, gee, should I have done that sort of thing? Is that a good idea? Don't be hasty in your commitments. Our moral obligation is to keep our vows, as Psalm 15:4 says, even when it proves to be our hurt. The man who dwells with God swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. He finds out that was a bad promise to make, but he says, I'm going to live up to it. Proverbs says, don't be hasty in forming your opinions. Boy, this is a tough one. Many of the things we've been talking about up to this point might seem a little bit more out there and able to get, we can get our hands on, you know, control our temper. Don't get involved, you know, in trying to get rich quick. Don't go to court hastily. But how do we control ourselves when it comes to our opinions? The Bible says we should be slow to draw conclusions. Proverbs 18:13 is a good illustration of that. He who answers before listening. The one who has an answer to something, who draws a judgment or a conclusion without having listened or reflected upon the evidence or getting the whole story, the one who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. I don't know many people that enjoy thinking hard and long about a problem. We want quick answers. In fact, it's one of the humorous characteristics of many students that I've had, and I love them, but it is funny that so often we get involved in a very difficult theological or philosophical or apologetical problem, and I'm trying to lay it out and analyze it and dissect it and make sure that they see all of the complexity of it and problems and so forth, and almost always there'll be somebody in the class who will say, yeah, but what's the answer? Get to it. We want to draw a conclusion. I want to know what it is and move on. Don't be hasty in forming opinions. In an academic setting, it may be humorous and it may lead to you not doing good work, but in life it leads to sin and it leads to hurt and destruction. Don't be hasty in forming opinions. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights only in airing his own opinions." Ouch. That fit, maybe? That perhaps what you're really interested in is airing your own preconceived ideas rather than gaining understanding. Finally, Proverbs tells us this morning not to be hasty in our words. Proverbs 29:20. "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him." It may be that this is one of the most important ways to control our hasty characteristic in all the other areas of life. I picked that up, I think, from James, who tells us that if we could learn to control our tongues, we could bridle the rest of our desires and body. You see, if we could just get hold of our verbal sinfulness, we'd have a real key to controlling the rest of our sinfulness in life. And so it is here. A man who is quick to speak is a man who gets into a lot of trouble, acts like a fool. In fact, there's more hope for a fool than for a person like that. I take it that the proverb is saying you are lower than a fool. You've got more problem than just being a fool if you are hasty in your words. A couple of passages that will illumine that a bit more. Proverbs 10:19. "When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise." Don't be hasty in the things you say. In your much speak, there is a lot of sin. Your much speaking, there is a lot of sin. And if you could hold your tongue, you'd be a far wiser person. In fact, there's this kind of tongue-in-cheek proverb, Proverbs 17:27. "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered." And then listen to this. "Even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." One more passage. In James 1:19, I think we have reinforcement of the Proverbs and what they have to say about not being hasty, and especially not being hasty in our words. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Slow down. Move too fast. You're drawing too many opinions without due reflection. You are not controlling your emotions. You are not forming good opinions, and you're not speaking with wisdom and discernment. We need to be more deliberate as people. We need to be more cautious. We need to draw back from the instant, get into it, be quick culture, and be people who are methodic, people who are deliberate, people who are patient and silent when we need to be, so that we can become people that are slow to wrath, slow to draw our conclusions, slow to speak our minds, slow to make promises, and slow to get involved in actions that only lead to trouble. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to be less self-willed. When all is said and done, it's a self-willed character that leads to all these other symptoms of haste in our words, in our opinions, in our tempers, in our commitments. We need to be less self-willed and more full of God, more full of patience and the fruit of the Spirit, and especially a trusting of the Lord. One of the reasons why we hurry to things is because we think if we don't take care of it, if we don't make a decision, if we don't get it done, it's not going to get done right. There's going to be some problem. You know, there's a lot of wisdom to just holding back and saying, "I trust the Lord for the outcome. I'm going to let Him lead me quietly, patiently, cautiously to the right kind of God-glorifying, holy conclusion in my feelings, in my judgments, and in my actions and words." I give you five things you might do if this is your real interest as we close today. First of all, I don't mean to sound quote-unquote secular in the pulpit, but to be very honest, I think we would learn to be more holy people if we would just in general spend more time in meditation and reflection. Don't be people dedicated to the television and to the quick paragraphs of the local newspaper and to being entertained all the time. Learn what it is to go off and be by yourself and be quiet, to be a quiet, thoughtful, reflective, meditative person. Of course, in the process, forget the secular side of that, it would be great if you'd learn the psalmist exhortation to meditate upon God's word. I think you would do yourself well if you would just take 15 or 20 minutes a day and just don't do anything. Just sit in a quiet room, maybe listen to some nice music, whatever that is for you, listen to some quiet music, and just let yourself chill out. But while you're there, maybe you could also ruminate upon the Word of God that you read this morning in your daily devotions and ask, how have I done living up to that? What has it taught me? How should I be using it better? Spend more time in meditation and reflection. Be a quiet person. And you'll find it's amazing. That'll help you. All these other, you won't be jumping to conclusions and jumping to commitments and doing things that get you into trouble in what you say because you're too quick about it. Secondly, if you really want to learn to avoid haste in your life, be repentant in prayer. In your daily piety, as you pray, spend greater portions of time knowing your weakness and confessing your weakness and laying it before God and repenting of it. Truly grieving over the mistakes you make and the way in which you offend against God. Truly grieving over your foolishness and the way that you fall short of His glory. Spend repentant time, because then that will help be a prophylactic against getting up from your knees in prayer and going out and acting like that again. I have a little thing to confess, don't you, here? The problem is you don't spend much time in prayer, do you? So what I'm trying to tell you to do right now isn't going to make a whole lot of difference. Probably sounds good. Why don't you spend more time in prayer? Why don't you every day say, I'm going to give myself a half hour to read the Bible and to pray? I mean, more than that would be wonderful, but I'm just going to use a half hour as the illustration. Why don't you do that? And you're going to confess it, aren't you? Because you're too busy. Because you are such a hasty, foolish person that you've gone weeks and months, and I'll bet for some of you years, saying it wouldn't be good to get into the habit of reading God's Word and praying every day. But I still don't do it. I still don't do it. There's just so much to do. How could I possibly miss watching that TV program? Or going out and having this entertainment, or doing something for... I mean, there's no room in your busy schedule to do what I've just told you to do. And so what we have here, you see, is a vicious circle. You can't learn not to be a hasty person by becoming more repentant, because you're already so hasty, you're not praying anyway. Enough said. Thirdly, confess your need to trust God more and yourself less. As you do pray, really understand your weakness. Really understand that you can't control the things in your life. And so emotionally and by way of commitment and action and word and emotion, there's no need to jump in and do things hastily rather than to say, God, everything's in your hand anyway. I have to trust you for this. I have to trust you for the outcome. If you trust yourself, you're going to get into trouble. Lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs tells you. Trust in the Lord. Fourthly, take the Lord Jesus Christ as an example. You want to talk about a busy man? Do a study in the Gospels. I love this. How much did Jesus do in a day? The Bible tells us on some particular days he healed all day long till past sundown. He was so busy ministering to people. And yet when his disciples couldn't find him, it finally dawned on them. They knew where they could find him. He would get up early and go out and pray. Jesus was not the sort of person who just had something quick on the tip of his tongue to say to people. In fact, the Bible tells us that before his shearers, at the time when he was unjustly treated and even crucified, he held his tongue. He didn't speak. Jesus knew that there was a right time to do things. He was a patient, long-suffering person. Take him as an example in your life. Ask yourself, am I responding emotionally, intellectually, volitionally, verbally? Am I responding as Jesus would in this situation? And fifthly, pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in making you mature spiritually and developing the fruit of the Spirit there, that you would become a more patient, gentle, long-suffering, rejoicing, loving person who is full of good works and self-control. If you really want to get rid of that hastiness that gets you into so much trouble, what I'm telling you very simply is you need to become a more pious person, to walk closer with the Lord, to reverence Him, be repentant for your failings, trust Him and Him alone, look to Jesus, ask for the work of the Spirit in your life. In one sense, what we've been talking about today is just really the heart of the Christian life. The real question is, are we just too busy to be Christians? Let's pray. All of us confess, Lord, that we've really blown it. We have been quick-tempered and quick-willed, quick to pursue our own desires, quick to draw judgments and to speak. And we've ended up being rash and have gotten ourselves not only into trouble in this world, but we have fallen short of being with You and reflecting Your glory and loving You above all. We ask You to give us patience and to take away our hasty spirits. We also ask that You would give us patience in realizing growth in patience, that we would not be impatient about Your working gradually and progressively to sanctify us. But we do ask that You would do that work in us. I do ask that You would truly turn all of our hearts toward You, that we would not simply have a mental checklist that says these are good things to do, but that somehow we would leave this place and become more patient, less hasty, and more God-glorifying in everything that we do and feel and say. We do thank You that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who very patiently bears with us in our weakness and our sin. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You were willing to suffer long, indeed to give up Your own life for the sake of fools like us. Make us more like You in the power of Your Spirit, and forgive us because of the work You've done in our place. And help us to glorify You in all that we say and do, because we pray in Your precious name. Amen.